Ray Wang. Mr. Wang.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kevin Wang. I'm the attorney for appellant. And also, I'm the inventor of this invention.
Mm-hmm.
Before I proceed my oral argument, I want to thank you, the court, give the opportunity at the inventor present my invention. So I want to talk about the short background about this invention, how it developed. So I'm the stamp collector for many years. So around 15 years ago, I have a habit to collect stamp cover. So at the moment, the most popular online auction is from eBay. So I participated a lot online auction through eBay. But eBay is open bid auction. So usually the auction takes 7 days. So I need to wait last second to win the auction to meet my habit of collect stamp cover. So most of the times I'm busy at lawyer price law. I cannot price last second. Then even I win before the last second, most of the collectors know how it works and outbid me at last second. Therefore, most time I lost. And when more and more sellers and other people know I have a habit for certain covers, they always build out price by fake ID, by the register, the bidder try to build out the price. If I did not participate that auction, the price of that kind of cover were low. If I participate, the price is very high because people know.
So what does that have to do with the computer? Because you could take that same approach without using a computer and just do it on a pencil and paper basis, right?
Yes, Your Honor. So you read that question. I think Your Honor may read the article that I read the argument. The Professor Seaman Parson, that's an article related to auction and bidding, a guide for computer scientists. This article at the background information was cited and introduced by the USPTO examiners. So in that article, the USPTO examiner introduced article means that this article is admissible, that he agreed with the position of the Professor Simmons.
All right, but is there anything in Professor Parson that says what you're talking about is a technical problem or that there's a technical solution to it? It seems that the problems you identify also could plague offline auctions as much as online auctions. So what in Professor Parson would show otherwise?
Okay, yes, Your Honor. So the if you open the opening brief, page 12, so in the appendix, page 375. So the
375. Thank you.
Okay, appendix 375 and the brief, document 89, page 15.
I've got appendix 375. Is this part of Parson?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And you can open the brief, the document 89, page 15, filed on November 2nd.
Page 15 of your opening brief?
Yeah, document 89.
Okay.
The
page
blue
15.
Brief. The blue brief.
Yeah, opening brief. So the Professor Parson very clearly identify the technical problem that in the online auction. So if you want to permit me to read short part. So
this is your read from 375?
Yeah, yeah. This is the
later on the page.
So this is the document 89, page 15. This is Professor clearly identify.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at page 375.
Appendix.
Help me find the passage that you're referring to.
Are you referring us at 375 to the paragraph that begins, shills are a particular problem in internet auctions? Is that what you want us to look at?
Yes. Let me see. Okay, give me 1 second.
It'd be more helpful just to keep us in the appendix rather than your brief.
Okay, I think that in our brief, in my brief, let me give me a second. I think that so in the opening brief, these are the figure ID and the also the page 14. I identify E snapping. So online auction the bid, all the bid.
My question, my concern about your appeal is that you identify problems arguably that do plague online auctions, but it seems like there are also problems for non-online auctions. And it seems like all Professor Parsons says is some of these are particular problems or maybe even bigger problems for online auctions, but none of that means that they're not also problems for offline auctions. So do you have anything we could look at that would say these are just online auction problems?
Your Honor, I think that I do read my brief that the Professor Siemens identified the shield is a particular problem for online auction. So you think about this way. In the live auction, how many people use fake ID? How many? Very few people. Such as today, I pass the auction. Do you think I will bring my fake ID? Maybe not. But online auction, the people can register with, okay, ABC is my name, and the email is very easy to register. So at this moment, the people use the fake ID and build out the price. That's called shield.
Okay, but I understand what you're saying is that the computation of the bids is not unique to online auctions, but the false identification is a problem for online auctions that doesn't exist for in-person auctions. Is that correct?
Yes, the two. So the from the Professor Siemens, he identified because there's no effective solution to prevent fake ID. And they can do much more.
Okay, but it is correct that the mechanism for computing and recomputing the bid, all that could be a problem in an in-person auction as well as an inline auction, online auction, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what you're saying is that this is uniquely dealing with the problem of identification? But I don't understand. I didn't understand that to be the invention here.
Okay, Your Honor. Through the three unique features, that if these three unique features have been implemented through the reverse seal bid auction, then this figure ID does not effective anymore. So the bidder don't have to register a figure ID to bid. So under these circumstances, the concern from the Professor Siemens has been resolved by an effective solution.
When you say Professor Siemens, I think you mean Simon Parson. It's the same Professor Parson that we were talking
about.
Simon
Parson, yes.
Okay.
Simon Parson.
Just to make sure. You got it. Thank you.
So and also the Your Honor, if I refer to the document 64, page 13, the examiner.
I'm sorry. Is this in the appendix?
No. See my reply brief.
The reply brief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Document 64, page 13. The examiner admit that in the second paragraph, the claims may speak to an improvement to seal bid means. So you only see that part?
I'm not sure if I do.
Okay.
It's on page 13 of your gray brief.
Okay, so
document
64, reply brief, page 13.
The corrected one is 84, I believe. At least that.
Can I just suggest something, which is that I think you will be better off if you refer us to the appendix and different evidence you have
okay.
as opposed to your
okay.
briefs.
Okay, so appendix
158.
Okay. 158 and the appendix 1461. the USPTO examiner admitted that the claims may speak to an improvement to sealed bid means.
Sealed bids is one of your two patent applications, is that right?
Yes, I have the, and also I have the reverse. The reverse means that people looking for lower price, sealed bid, looking for the higher price, higher price. So the, this case, this appeal, it consolidated both applications.
So which part of 158 is supportive of your argument?
Support that sealed bid. If my understanding is correct.
Right, it relates to sealed bids, I get that, but can you help us identify where on 158?
So you said the one sentence, because I don't bring my appendix. So the claim may speak to an improvement to sealed bid means.
I'm still not understanding. You've agreed that the bid computation mechanism is not related to a computer. That can be in an in-person auction as well as an online auction. You're saying that the invention deals with the problem of people using false identities in online auctions. Where did you identify that as the inventive concept here, or the thing that made this patent eligible?
Okay, Your Honor. So my invention
is that one of the, I didn't understand that to be one of the three novel features that you relied on.
Okay, Your Honor. If my invention had been implemented, I would reach the result that the fake ID is not effective anymore. So I reached the result. It's the target that the professor...
I don't understand the connection. I mean, what does the bidding mechanism have to do with fake IDs?
Okay, Your Honor, may I explain to you? So the people, right, use fake ID because they know who is bidding, how much to bid. So are we on the same page? Such as, okay, I bid $10. If the guy who is fake, who wants to, oh, $10 is too slow, let me bid $20. In order for me to win, I have to bid $20 and more. So eventually, the guy is fake. I pay more prices. However, if the seal bid, so the guy who provide fake ID to bid.
So you're saying that use of this bidding mechanism discourages the use of fake IDs.
Yeah. Eventually, fake ID doesn't work anymore. Nobody uses fake ID because they don't know the price.
Can you tell me where in, say, claim 133 this is reflected? Where is this aspect recited in claim 133?
So, fake ID?
Yes.
So, Your Honor, would you like a paraphrase?
I would like to know where you've asserted the fake ID aspect is something that's a technological solution to a technological problem. I understand you to be asserting that. I want to know how that is included in the representative claim.
Okay, Your Honor, I do not specify the fake ID in the claim.
That's
but
okay.
I claim.
If you tell me how the claim, what's recited in it, relates to fake ID, that would be helpful.
Yeah, Your Honor. So I agree with you that in the claim, I don't specify that the invention will fix or the resolve the fake ID. However, what I claim, so my invention will resolve the issue of fake ID because the people will not have any incentive to use fake ID to bid anymore because he do not price at all. So use fake ID, the purpose is open bid. Such I give you an example. I bid $10, people use fake ID bid 20. In order for me to win, I should bid 20 and more. So therefore, that incentive for people use fake ID to build out price. If you use a sealed bid, the guy don't have no way to know the price at all. So what purpose is fake ID? That makes no difference. However, if the people use the regular, the traditional sealed bid, to bid, I bid $10, people $20, there are a lot of negative things because people said, okay, I don't know the prices. I pay $100, but second high price will be $10. I pay too much, $90. I don't want price to be anymore. So therefore, I have to develop the mechanism and the way try to recalculations, but what purpose for recalculations? What?
Do you agree that your sealed bid mechanism would result in solving some problems were it used in a non-online auction?
The answer is yes, possibly. However, you on a sealed bid that for online, so not only resolve the figure ID, but also, you know, sealed bid, you cannot open. Such that if you open the prices, they cannot call sealed bid anymore until the end auction. So the computer to recognize the valid bid, such as the price lower than the star prices, they reject it. That's not happen in the live auction. Live auction is you seal the price, so give the people, end auction, people open. Right? Yeah. Online auction, people submit the bid. Mm-hmm. So such as my price is too low, they reject automatically. They have to through computer. That's not a manual can do it. That means that the seal bid is how to rely on the computer, such as the price is lower than the prices. Then they become invalid and rejected by the computer without anyone else know it. They have to rely on the computer.
Okay, I think most of the further questions, I think we're out of time here. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
You have to sit down.
Okay.
Is my Trang Duk Dang?
Yeah. Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to address the shilling and the sniping as a technical problem to a technical solution to a technical problem. The Parsons article that we were discussing earlier, even though on page 375 it talks about shilling as particularly a particular problem in internet auctions, on appendix 375.
Before you start, help me. Was this argument that we're hearing today made below? I mean, it's a surprise to me. I thought the invention here was a novel method of calculating the bid, which made it fairer and so on and so forth. I didn't understand that it had to do somehow with preventing false identification.
I believe below, Your Honor, there was a lot of more talk about bad faith bidding in general and sniping and shilling, and now the blue brief has talked a little bit about fake IDs. But the shilling and the sniping were also discussed below at the board.
Okay, but was the argument made that this bid calculation methodology somehow eliminated the problem of fake IDs?
I believe it was made, Your Honor, but not explained as to how that works. So appellant argued that the claimed three novel features resolve these problems. But the connection to how it would be resolved was not explained very well. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Parsons article also explains on appendix 372 and 374 that shills and sniping were a problem and are a problem in live auctions. So this is not a specific problem to online auctions. At 372, kind of in the middle of the page, there's a paragraph beginning, in any kind of auction with a closing time, sniping can be a problem and is observed in both internet auctions and their low-tech cousins, the silent auctions. So that's just the reference talking about sniping in general. And then 2 pages later, at the bottom of 374, Mr. Parsons says, shills, briefly mentioned in Section 2, are one way for sellers and auctioneers to manipulate the price in their favor. For example, in English auctions, and then Mr. Parsons goes on to explain the history of Schilling. The blue brief on page 27 and 28 argues that the sealed bid part of the claims is what resolves everything. What resolves Schilling, what resolves sniping, and the fake ID. It doesn't connect those two things, but that's the argument. And the specification does the same on Appendix 10. I'm sorry, it's not Appendix 10. It's the specification at paragraph 10. So on Appendix 254, it's the end of paragraph 10, the first full sentence. Since open auctions have many deficiencies, mainly because of publicly visible bid amounts, one of the ways to overcome these deficiencies is through sealed bid auction, where bid amounts are not disclosed during the time of the sealed bid auction. So the claims are not directed to a technical problem nor a technical solution.
Is that a question of fact or a question of law?
I believe that the technical problem and technical solution usually don't involve a lot of facts. Here there are some, there's a Parsons reference, and so maybe that is an issue of fact in the actual reference.
So, I mean, how would we resolve it here? Because I understand Mr. Wang to be arguing he does have a technical solution to a technical problem. You're arguing the opposite. Is that something that's factual, or that's something we decide as a matter of law?
I think the overall decision, of course, Your Honor, is a matter of law that you would decide de novo. And I think that based on the whole record, the record as a whole, even the arguments that appellant makes in the blue briefs, there's no question here that even the appellant has said that sealing the bids is the thing that solves the problem.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, do I understand you to be saying, you know, the abstract idea, the abstract claims are directed to an abstract idea of mitigating risk or having a sealed auction, and it's not a technological solution to a technological problem because this same concept could apply even off a computer and the computer is being used for conventional purposes. Is that your position?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that's exactly our position. The claims themselves are directed to, as the appellant himself says in the specification, mitigating risks to sealed bid auctions. I think maybe online sealed bid auctions. That's still an abstract idea. And all of the technology involved in this invention are just general computers, generic computing elements, and that does not draw the claim out of the abstract realm.
At step two, Mr. Wang writes, it happens to be in his reply brief at 17, but he says, there's no record to support any of the three novel features of the claimed inventions being well-known, routine, and conventional activities in the relevant auction industry. Is he right? There's no record to support that? And if he's right about that, how could we affirm?
I don't think that statement is not supported, Your Honor, because there were three novel features argued. Two of them, the board found, were part of the abstract idea itself, and that was the receiving the bids, and I think it was the receiving and the collection of the bids.
The three novel features are solely concerned with the bidding mechanism, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so if the bidding mechanism is something that could solve problems for an in-person auction, then it's not unique to the computer environment.
I agree, Your Honor.
And did you have anything further to say about the third of the three purportedly novel ideas?
So the third of the three novel ideas was the allocation of the bid to the different parties that are involved in the auction and displaying them. In the claim, it is claimed as a display of the allocation of bid. So again, they're a part of the auction itself, and any technology is just in pushing that out to the display, which is also abstract. If there are no further questions, I will yield my time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wang, you have 2 minutes.
So, Your Honor, so I want to focus on argue related to inventive concept. So, Your Honor, when you have time, read the brief from the both parties. I don't think that the government brief or opposition brief talk about anything related to the inventive concept that I present is not eligible. They oversimplified my inventive concept. So they don't provide any evidence to prove the commitment, recalculation, and allocation, the three features that are practiced in the any traditional auction or online auction. They did not. So therefore, by itself, the government did not meet their burden to reject my patent applications. So I think they always had some little bit experience for auctions. When you lose in the auction, you don't get anything, even one penny. Why? You lose. The winner win the auction, they pay the money, get something. So if you lose, nothing. But in this auction that I present, assume that your price is at some point like a second high price and use the reference, you get some money. That's the non-generic, never happened in the pre-art era. And this is the inventive because the loser gets some portion of the money from the auction. So you read the government brief, they did not reject about my inventive concept. They talk nothing about my inventive concept. They only talk about that the mitigated risk. Actually, the government is wrong because my invention not only mitigates risk, my invention at some point is uncertain risk. The uncertain risk is totally different mitigated risk. So at some point, the price is higher than the price you bid. Sometimes it is lower. If lower, of course, you mitigate risk. At some point, higher than you bid, you increase risk. So therefore, the government...
I think we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Okay. Thank you both counsel. The case is submitted.